Hey, welcome to our show. My name is Greg Frank. I'm a technical architect here at the Microsoft Technology Center in New York City. Today we're going to talk about modern meetings and some of the challenges associated with them. So first off, let's talk about the uptick in usage of modern collaborative meetings. 78% of the folks in the world collaborate today on a daily basis. 4 out of 5 use web conferencing weekly, if not daily. At the same time, 66% are attending web conferences from a smartphone. 46% launch web conferences from smartphones. So as you can see, this collaborative meeting is really taking off and very popular. A couple of the common challenges is getting started seems to take forever. Who hasn't been on a meeting where it's a 30-minute meeting, and 10 minutes into it, you really haven't gotten the meeting kicked off yet? Also, which tools do we use? People wind up on different screens, different tools, and it really delays and kind of contributes to the negative effect of the meeting. Also, once you get everyone on the meeting, you run into this problem of people can't find their presentation. So there's a lot of common challenges with the modern day meetings. So Office 365 is the solution to overcoming some of these challenges. Microsoft is a front runner in enterprise voice and collaborative solutions. Gartner has us at a leader in their Magic Quadrant in 3 different areas: unified communications, corporate telephony, and web conference. Finally, we're number 1 in new voice over IP seats sold in the market today. 79% of enterprise businesses are deploying or plan on deploying Microsoft's Office 365 with Skype for Business Enterprise Voice. Kat is a marketing person working on a new weight loss pill for a large pharmaceutical firm. The pressure is high to get this thing kicked off fast and launched because there's a competitive product out there that's trying to beat Kat to market. Finally, so let's find out how Kat can solve this problem by leveraging Office 365 with her distributed team.
Oh no, they've moved up the product launch and I don't know if they're ready. Let me see if I can go into the planner to figure out how we're doing. Goodness, look at this. Looks like some of our tasks are still falling behind. Let's go right in and figure out exactly who is the one who's the culprit here. So if I go into Planner, and it looks like I have a red on a task that Alex is doing. It says he hasn't yet created the blurb for the Skype meeting broadcast. Well, that broadcast is like the launch of this opportunity in this product. So, all right, let's see. Maybe I can get a hold of Alex via Skype. I'll up with him first. I am, if he's available. So I'll send an IM, get him started. Hey, Alex. So I'll launch the call. Wait for him to answer. Oh, hey there, Alex. Hi, Alex. How's it going?
Hey, Kat, what's going on?
So I'm really excited about this new opportunity to leverage Skype meeting broadcast for this product launch, and it'll give us an opportunity for thousands of people to actually see see the launch. But I'm struggling with the fact that I noticed on the planner that we're still missing some information about the blurb for the invitation. And I was wondering if we could take a look at that.
Oh, yes, I worked on it last night. Take a look at the notebook that we have. I think it's pretty close to completion, but just let me know.
Oh, all right. So I'll look in the OneNote. Great.
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, that's a nice graphic, Alex. I think that's going to be perfect. And I see, oh, you left open the spot here about who the speakers are. So let me just add those. Mary Michaels, and Joe Smith. So we can actually get this going. Thanks so much for your help, Alex. I'll get this broadcast started, and we should be all set. Thanks so much. Bye now. All right. So Alex has given me enough information to get this going. So let's go right and create the meeting broadcast. That's my turn. So mine is to set up a broadcast meeting. Let's go right into broadcast.skype.com. Start a new meeting. We'll call this Toso product launch. And it's the 15th of June, and it's 100 hours, about an hour. And we'll make this anonymous. We want to allow anybody gotten the link to join, and we've set it up for both record and to make the video available later. All right, so go ahead and create that meeting. This up another window. Beginning again. I'll create a new meeting. Anonymous. All right, we're all set. One of the things I want to do is great. It shows up in my, let's customize it a bit. I will put we have a pulse set up on Bing. So I'll put in our Bing pulse setup. So this is the demo launch, I think we call it. And this way we can actually capture sentiment for the event itself while the event's going on. And this is my doing this from. All right, so that's good. I don't think we need anything else from this page, so we'll just save that here. And now we need to create an invitation. This way we can send this out to everybody. So we'll open up this invite. And put the text gave right into the invitation. That was OneNote in my other browser. There we go. So we'll just copy the piece here. This invitation. As you see, it actually populated the whole link and everything else right into the invitation, so we're all set with that. I'll pop in the graphic, and I'll also pop in the text. This way everyone gets a chance to see exactly what's going on. So, all right, so then we send that out to the whole group, and make sure everybody on the group gets a chance to forward that to the customers going. All right, so I think I'm all set. Excellent. So we're all ready for the broadcast.
Thanks for joining us. We're so happy to have you. Welcome to our latest product launch, both to our partners and our employees. Now let's get started.
All right, so thank you very much. We'll go back to Greg.
They included Microsoft Planner, Skype for Business, Microsoft Outlook, OneNote, and Skype Meeting Broadcast. Microsoft offers the Microsoft Fast Track for Office 365 program as well. That includes things for envisioning your solution, getting it on board and deploying it throughout your organization, and then driving value through adoption. So, my call to action to you is learn more about Skype for Business. Tune in again on June 16th as Kevin Orbacher continues the pharma weight loss pill story with an accelerated data management acquired from Kat's Skype for Meeting broadcast, telling us about a very awkward jam he got into when his VP of engineering asked him to do something he was sure he couldn't do. Catch Kevin next week at 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
The first question we have is, if you already have, I already have a Microsoft Office 365 for Business account, is there any additional charges to use Skype for Business? I think that question is really about licensing. We're all technical here, so it's kind of a little harder for us to answer. But if you go to the office.com site and look at the different plans, it will tell you which components are included in which plan. So it really depends on what kind of Office license you purchase. Second question. Do all viewers, participants of video conferencing need to be on Skype for Business, or can they view interact through a standard Skype account? That's a very interesting question. There's actually two-part answer to this one. One is we can invite a Skype consumer account into a conferencing as well. That's one of the options that's possible to be enabled. And the second part of the answer is only the organizer needs to be actually have a Skype account, but you can invite anybody inside or outside the organization. They could download a Skype client, or they could actually just connect through a web browser directly to the meeting using the URL provided in the invitation process. And what you've seen, two portions. One is Skype meeting itself that I was participating in and talking to Kat. And the second part of the broadcast, participants connect directly from anywhere in the world via a web browser. And that can be tens of thousands of people around the globe. And we'll actually optimize everything and we'll for a specific mobile device, for a web browser, specific network feeds. So it's a pretty intelligent system behind the scenes. Another question, what are the size limits for video teleconferencing for view only, as well as active participants? Oh, so maximum amount of
people. Right, so the maximum for the broadcast is about 10,000 participants. For Skype for Business, it's around 250. But the Skype broadcast, we're looking to grow that number, but we're starting with 1,000.
Good question. Okay, lots of questions, that's great. Is Skype for Business a replacement for Microsoft Link?
Yes.
So Link was an old name, Link 2013, Link 2010, and Skype for Business is the new brand. We're unifying both the experience across the Skype consumer and Skype enterprise, as well as the brand concept itself.
And I want to add that the user experience, including audio and so forth, those are really helpful. So if you're already used to Skype consumer, Skype for Business.
As a one-man operation, how can I get clients to easily engage with Skype for meeting instead of them coming into my office?
Well, actually, that's easy enough, especially with these invitations. If you saw, it actually drops a link to Skype right into the invitation. So if you invite someone to send them, just associate it with a Skype meeting and send that out to them. It works for external as well as internal participants during Skype for Business.
Right. It's nice when they have cameras so you can see each other, or at least you should have a camera. Most of the devices like Surface or others work as well. Of course, the Skype client works on non-Windows devices as well. Works on a Mac, works on an iPad, works on an Android devices. So we're kind of agnostic to operating system these days. So really, anybody from any platform can join into the meeting and talk to you.
Yeah, and to add to that, you can share screen, you can share a notebook together and or a whiteboard and actually collaborate remotely with both, again, with your internal or with external.
Yeah, I use it with my parents, for example, because they always, I'm a technical support for them. So I set up a quick Skype for business session, and they call me. Don't tell my manager to work. All right. One other question. We're using Link in our enterprise. Do we need to move to Skype for Business? So Skype for Business is the next version, or the current version, I should say, of our real-time communication software. So if you're using Link today, that product is no longer developed. So if you want newer functionality and newer capabilities, then yes, it would be recommended to move for Skype for Business or Skype for Business Online. And that is the choice that people have. One of the unique things that we're trying to do in Microsoft in general is to provide you ability to either run it in your own data centers or run it in our data centers, or create some kind of combination, maybe some people in our data centers and some in yours. So there's a lot of options, but yes, that's the next version. So you have to look at what it provides to you, what value it provides, what capabilities you want, and then decide on moving. Certain things like that Kat was showing in terms of the broadcast capability to 10,000 plus participants, that is an online functionality, which could be initiated from on-premises server or integrated with on-premises server, but it does require online capability in order for us to distribute this worldwide. It's actually a pretty complex system with CDN and media encoding and a variety of other technologies. What is the difference between Skype for Business Basic and your standard Skype for Business? For those who are not familiar, Skype for Business Basic is a client type. It's a limited functionality, basically join the meeting only and have the video and audio participation. And there is a full client for various platforms, as I mentioned. And then there is also a web client. So those are the three types of clients that we have. And for certain situations, the web experience may not be what people want. Maybe they want a client, but they don't own a Skype for Business license. So Skype for Business basic client is a free download you can install. In Office 365 with Skype for Business, do we need to pay for a separate telecom service for setting up audio-based conference calls? Oh, that's a good question. Slightly touches on licensing, but I'll try to answer it more from a technology perspective. So there's actually different options for this scenario. You can bring your own telephony provider, so to speak, and we work with a variety of telephony providers. But we also recently started doing Microsoft-based telephony that you can add to your Skype for Business account. Basically, we can provide you a PSTN connectivity. We can provide you ability to call people to call you back. Variety of telephony services that are built into the service. So either you bring your own, or you you can buy a telephony service from Microsoft. The other side to this is what we saw in the demo, and is a broadcast or a capability of having meetings, whether they are web-based or not. Now, we didn't show that piece, but you can actually, from that meeting, not necessarily join it from a computer, but you can join it from a phone, just a regular phone number. Or you can, from a meeting, you can call out to a phone when somebody, let's say I want to bring an expert in to a meeting, and they're just I just know their telephone number. So from a meeting, I can just call out that. And then there's different plans around that as well in terms of calling. But with the meeting meeting capability, there's a specific number of minutes and that's included in each different plan. But for deeper kind of how much things cost, you should go to your Microsoft representative. I have an account with Office 365, which includes Skype for Business. I would like to start using this app. Do I need to receive a Skype for Business conference number? If so, how do I find out what my conference line number is if needed? So we kind of show different experiences. One is the broadcast side. If that is what your question is about, it's actually a process for administrator of your environment to enable the broadcast. It's not enabled by default, but pretty simple self-service. Somebody with administrative rights need to run a command, and it will be enabled for people in the environment. That's the broadcast side of things. Then if we're talking about kind of calling out, then again, there's a license for PSTN, or if you want to have numbers, things like that. That would be usually an additional license, potentially included. I don't know exactly what plan you're on. Is there an online meeting schedule service so clients can go online, calendar, and book next available date? So kind of a web-based scheduling. So the web-based scheduling broadcast that. But there's also a web-based scheduling schedule a regular Skype meeting between a group of
people. Yeah, so there's the web application where you actually have a calendar as well as your email, and you can set it up like that. You can share that with a group of people, which is what we did in this scenario. We had the marketing team. Marketing team all shares the calendar, and they are booking on that calendar. And set up meetings and Skype for Business other meetings.
Yeah, and book the next available day is an interesting kind of question, because a lot of times, I know in our situation, our calendars are booked all the time, so sometimes it's pretty challenging to get everybody. So there is actually a process that we have in Exchange that shows you availability by people and groups and variety of ways of doing it. We actually did actually release an add-on to Outlook called to allow you to poll people for meetings, kind of what is the best time for meetings, and then it will figure out the best time based on voting of people. There's a variety of ways to find free time, because it's one of the challenging in the environment.
In fact, it's a pretty effective way of trying to poll where people's availability is, instead of find it. Sometimes people don't keep their calendar up to date. Using the poll is a doing that.
Are there technical recommendations for maximizing the presentation feed, preventing interruptions, and so on? I would say come to MTC. That's what we do a lot of times with customers. We walk through this. There's no one simple answer to that kind of questions. It involves looking at a variety of factors, your networking environment, even your devices, Wi-Fi drivers, other types of pieces of the infrastructure. Because it's a IP-based telephony or IP-based communications, there are a lot of, it's very different from a regular phone. So there's a lot of pieces involved, and we do this on a daily basis with a lot of customers kind of evaluating what is required and where the bottlenecks are. There's a good article if you go to TechNet. There's a Microsoft IT just published an article on how we are doing, how we have been deploying Skype inside Microsoft, what kind of challenges we run into, what things we had to change, and how it impacts. So that may be an interesting starting point to answer that question.
Good point.
You're really coming in.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions. I love it.
Great.
Maybe we should do like
just
open Q&A and not a demo. Will Skype for Business auto present speakers while in video? If I understand the question correctly, if I start a video, that starts my speaker.
So whoever's speaking brings that person's video to the forefront, So it's actually in that order. You'll be able to see everyone's video in a panel, but the speaker will come forward in the presentation.
Yeah, active speaker selection. Can Skype work for remote desktop control to support a small user base, including Mac and PC-based systems?
I think I just answered that by saying that I'm a tech support for my parents. So the short answer is yes. You can certainly share screen. You can't. It has to be initiated by the person. From a privacy perspective, it's actually pretty important. You can't spy on somebody, but you can ask somebody to share their screen with you.
And enable it.
And you can actually even control it. So you can request control. Again, you can't force it on somebody. They can request control, and then the person presenting can allow that to you. So it works well with my parents.
Is this available in the Office 5 portal for end users, or is the users need to go to another site?
I think, if I understand the question correctly, in the Office 5 portal, if you enable license for Skype, we also have a single sign-on panel. I don't know, it was kind of quickly in the demo, where in the upper left-hand corner, there is a single sign-on entry. And anything that the user has access to, whether it's Office 5, whether it's a third-party SaaS application that was enabled, or whether it's an internal application that was enabled, will appear in that menu for the user. And as long as you assign a Skype for Business license for that user, it will appear there. You can add custom ones also if you want to that panel. And that will all be kind of connected together. It's actually easier than that because Skype, the idea for us is Skype is integrated into everything. So if I'm in Outlook and I see a person, the Skype presence icon is there and I can start talking to that person. If I am in a document and somebody else joins me and edits the same document, that's called co-authoring, by the way, then I can see and start a Skype conversation with that person. So it's not just about actually actively going somewhere. It's being in wherever I happen to be, whatever I happen to be doing, I can start doing a Skype conversation at that point in time. What is the Microsoft Planner?
Ooh.
We just released it to the public.
So Planner is now included in the latest release of Office 365, and it's a lightweight planning tool, which is great because if people are like small teams or a group of developers or what have you, or trying to collaborate on a set of tasks and activities, it helps you track those activities and plan those activities. And you can even report on them. So there's dashboards that integrate right in with a group or within your Office 365 space. And by the way, each of the plans can be associated with an Office group, along with a OneNote file, as well as an email, as well as calendar for that group. So having Planner and all those other pieces help you sort of keep the entire planner, the whole project together, including the people.
Yeah, a good question, because we keep adding more and more functionality to Office 365. Actually, if you want to see what's coming, there's office.com/roadmap. That's a public roadmap. And also, you have administrative rights to a tenant. There's something called first release. So you can put some people in the organization into this first release program, and they'll see this new functionality first before it's available to everybody else. And in general, in MTC sessions, we recommend kind of the IT department and more technical people to be in that program. That way, you can always see what's coming, and then choose to enable it or. Can we share screen during Skype call with multiple participants with free Skype account? So the consumer Skype account. I actually don't know the answer to that one. So definitely with Skype for Business, you can share your screen with many people that participate in the meeting. I don't know, any of you know the public one?
No, I know you can do video, but I haven't seen it.
Okay, I know you can do sharing with a public Skype, but I don't know in terms of how many people, is it one-to-one or many? Is there a technical help available to help in learning the various components of Office 365 and how to integrate these into a seamless presentation or work environment? And it looks like Stephen is answering. One of my colleagues, Stephen, is actually a moderator for our queue today, and looks like he is answering that question. So there's training. I'll just answer to the audience. There's training online available, both from IT perspective and the end user perspective. From a more technical, certainly, again, as I said before, coming to MPC, we do this all the time in terms of how to integrate it into your particular environment. And also with every Office 365 enterprise plan, we also include something called Fast Track. And that's what Greg was talking about.
And that was our last slide on the presentation, a little bit about Fast Track.
And Fast Track helps you adapt within your environment and migrate people both from the technical as well as adapting.
Also, keep an eye on the MTC channel on the MSDN channel9.msdn.com, because you'll see more videos like these that'll demonstrate some of the techniques around Office 365 and our other technology.
This is question is not for motor meetings. I have Skype for Business. However, when I'm editing contacts from the outside, is presence unknown, even with someone who has Office 365? All right, so this is something specific in your environment. I'm not sure exactly. Usually it has something to do with how you're resolving the actual person, the actual presence. So Skype under the hood from a technology perspective is using something called SIP as a protocol, and each person has an address basically. And if you can't communicate to a server to check the status of that person, then the status is not going to be there. But it's kind of hard to say exactly what's going on in your environment. Troubleshooting-wise, if for those who are technical folks, communication is over HTTPS. And there's logs that you can collect from a client side and analyze those. And the communication is communication. Does Skype for Business have the ability to send a text message? So not a text message. So not necessarily directly in terms of I am sending a like to a phone text device. But we just started to introduce something called missed messages. And it's first coming out on a Windows desktop, but then it's going to be available on other devices. Where if I'm offline and somebody sends me a Skype IM, when I come back online, I will see those and I can start responding. So that's kind of one side of the of your question. The other side of the question, I did have some customers. Most telephony providers have some kind of text gateway. So Skype is a full development platform as well. There's obviously an end functionality, but you can connect something called a bot. I don't know if you've seen some of our announcements in terms of our investments in the bot framework for things that talk to each other. So you can extend Skype environment to really communicate in any kind of channel, and I have seen some companies do it to a text. It could be other methodologies. So that's kind of another side of the question. Can you generate a report of who attended video teleconference? Okay, so kind of poll reports and. An attendance report. So for broadcast, that's actually recorded. You can see it during the broadcast, and you can actually see it, a summary after the broadcast. And then there is logging available in
Skype for Business traditional meetings online as well, and you can certainly examine it. There's reports in Office 365 portal that are already pre-built, and you can get to those, and they're just kind of out-of-the-box reports that we've created for you. There's also something called a management API, an activity API, which is a REST-based service which you can connect to yourself and get a lot more and create custom reports. We actually have a connection to that service from something called Power BI. Power BI is our visualization, data visualization framework. So you can connect from that and just create the dashboards that you like. But there's overall, there's the data is there. Well, if you don't like our report, then you can create your own. That's kind of short answer. What if the desktop doesn't have a camera? What camera would you recommend to attach to a desktop? Oh, well, recommend, this is my personal opinion. You want to recommend something or? No, so I generally, I have Surface devices. I also have an iPad that I use and an Android device. I'm kind of device agnostic. They kind of all come with a camera, those types of devices. So I don't know like a third party that I would recommend because I keep using the what's built in. Obviously, if there's no camera, you can't start a video. You can see somebody's video, but you can't start it. But I don't know.
Creative has a pretty good camera. In fact, they're moving into the 3D camera space as well. They come in anything from 720p to 1080p. So any of those cameras are pretty good for Skype, Skype for Business.
Yeah, I think almost all of the generally available USB type cameras will work very well with.
Yeah, but there's a ton of devices from third parties, both for telephony and for video side. And we can also integrate with like room telephony systems. We have our own Skype room systems. We also have other devices called Surface Hubs for room-based collaboration and video telephony systems. So it's really a really, really large ecosystem. On a device like this, well, not this one because this one has camera, but on a device that doesn't have camera, pretty much a lot of them work as well.
All right. Thanks, Alex, for taking our Q&A. For those of you who are still in the queue, we'll try to still answer your questions online. But thank you all for joining us. And don't forget, come back next week to see more about the story.